business is people at the end of the day. You know, it's not just product. It's people. It's the people you sell to. It's the people that work with you. It's who you are.
Welcome to Honest E-Commerce, a podcast dedicated to cutting through the BS and finding actionable advice for online store owners. I'm your host, Chase Clymer, and I believe running a direct-to-consumer brand does not have to be complicated or a guessing game. On this podcast, we interview founders and experts who are putting in the work and creating real results. I also share my own insights from running our top Shopify consultancy, Electric Eye. We cut the fluff in favor of facts to help you grow your e-commerce business. Let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Honest E-Commerce. Today, I'm joined by Kent Yoshimura. He is the co-founder and CEO of Nero, who are creating the future of gum and mints. Kent, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chase. Happy to be here.
I'm super excited to chat. Quickly, for those that aren't familiar with Nero, you guys make gum and mints, but give us a little bit more. Like, what's so cool about your product?
Yeah. So, you know, when we first started the company about, like, when we first came up with the idea over 10 years ago, supplements, first of all, were so badly regulated that you didn't know what you were getting. So I was one of the first people to jump into this nootropics trend that was picking up. And Ryan and I, when we were on a scuba diving trip, realized that taking pills in public, even if they're better for you, is not necessarily a good look. So if we can make it much more accessible and much more approachable, while also completely transforming an industry that hasn't been innovated on in, you know, like hundreds of years, people have been chewing gum forever, can we create supplements and health and wellness products that are way more approachable and accessible and easier for people to take? And, you know, I guess that idea resonated with people because here we are still around and kicking and growing.
Absolutely. So if I was going to repeat what you just said for an idiot, aka myself, you guys are, you know, the product itself is gum or mints, but it has supplements included to, you know, offset kind of the stigmatism of popping pills in public.
Yes. I think you put it more concisely than I did. Yeah. But we basically make gum and mints more functional.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So like, well, I get you already kind of took me there. So you were on a trip and you kind of had this aha moment. Mm-hmm. How long from that scuba diving adventure until you like really got into like, we're going to build a product here. We're going to do something.
You know, I didn't have a business background, but I did have a science background, and so did Ryan. And we were both athletes training pretty seriously. I was training for the Olympics in judo and fighting in Thailand every year for like 16 till 22. And Ryan was captain of his cross country and track team, but he got injured in a really bad snowboarding accident that left him paraplegic. So he went on to train with for the Paralympics. But taking that experience and using ourselves as guinea pigs, we started just developing the product ourselves over a course of like my sophomore year of college, where I was mixing these things by myself all the way until maybe like 24, 25, until we finally realized like, hey, how do we turn this into a product that other people may start enjoying? How do we turn this into what, you know, every entrepreneur thinks, where it's like, it can't just be us that could take advantage of the benefits of a functional gum and mint. It could be the masses. And from that point, it was about a year of research and development to turn into an actual product.
Absolutely. So were you just like in the kitchen, like making gum?
We tried to do that. It's not as easy as you think it is. But it's also not as easy as you think it is to make gum and mints in America by finding a co-man, because there's about three companies that own everything in the confectionery space, and the three that you would assume, the Mondelez, the Hershey's, and the Wrigley's of the world. So we very fortunately were calling around all these people and found a mom and pop gum and mint manufacturer that was barely doing, I think, $10 million in business at that time, and took us under their wing, and we quickly became their biggest brand.
That's amazing. So there's a bit of a thing here, and I really want to go back and highlight it. So how long were you kind of ideating and trialing on the product before you got something that you were going to have a co-manufacturer take to market with you?
So we knew what active ingredients we wanted to put into it. With anything that we developed, we wanted to have clinically backed trials for the ingredients themselves. With that being said, the hurdle that we ran into when we put them into a gummy format is when you're chewing on something for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 3 hours, it better taste good. And a lot of active ingredients don't. So when we started hitting those hurdles of mixing those ingredients and just making them in powder format and seeing how they taste, we realized that we needed a flavor chemist, an actual ingredient chemist that also could come together and make these active ingredients in as potent, efficient, and efficacious format as possible.
Gotcha. So if you had to kind of guess, what was this whole like R&D life cycle? How long did it take?
About a year. It was a whole year.
Gotcha. And so then you finally got the first versions of these things and you're ready to go to market. How do you do that? Like, how did it go from a product that you made with a co-manufacturer to something that you're selling to the masses?
Yeah. You know, outside of all the compliance stuff that I think every business needs to go through, we had a little bit more of a difficult time because gum is categorized as both a food and a supplement, depending on how you present it to masses. And when we were approaching, the big mass and drug retailers, they were looking at us as a nutrition label and being like, I don't know what to do with this. We've never seen a product like yours before, you know, which is a gum product with these ingredients that typically fit on a supplement shelf. So we're the only gum, to my knowledge, that has a supplement label. And we went through the entire process of compliance to make sure that we could go out and sell into the public. And, you know, there was a little bit of a legal back and forth that had to happen because unlike beverages, which are a little bit easier to, there's so many like beverage commands and there's different, you know, heat fill pasteurization processes that are backed by different compliance laws. We were inventing a new category and had to come up with ways on how we were presenting ourselves and being compliant to be able to sell across all these platforms. So I guess like to answer your question directly, you know, it's like the year of R&D was trying to get that product right. But going from just being a D2C brand to a brand that could actually sell into all these places was probably another year and a half.
Oh, that's amazing. And I definitely want to ask about both of those adventures. But I do just want to kind of highlight something that I think a lot of our listeners need to understand is you are taking a product that existed and but please, I'm not trying to oversimplify what you're doing here, but you're just adding cool shit to gum, right? You didn't invent gum. You didn't invent the cool stuff. You just took two things that existed already and put them together. And that's enough to make a multi-million-dollar business, right? Like that's the concept I want our listeners to understand.
Oh yeah. But like people weren't doing it.
Yeah. It's good to be first. It's good to have that aha moment. But like, I think just for all the listeners out there that want to get into entrepreneurship, or maybe they have a product and they're working on kind of understanding, it's like, you don't have to be the next Zuckerberg. You just have to do something that you already know that sells just a little bit better. And the way that you're doing it better is by introducing these active ingredients.
And I say like a year and a half, and those seem like long timelines, but they're all iterative processes while we were figuring things out and already selling and then learning that, hey, we could sell more, we could sell better, we could be more compliant if we add these things on. So I don't want those timelines to be, to hold anyone back per se, to launch an idea, because there's so many opportunities to do it. And, you know, now that we've been in business for about 8 years, like the motto of KISS, keep it simple, stupid, is so much more relevant than ever before. And it all starts with simplicity and being able to present it in the easiest way possible.
Oh, absolutely. I love that too. And it's a motto that I think all businesses need to run by, especially what we do at the agency. Like, I think every annual meeting, we're like, what can we not do anymore? It's like a question we truly challenge ourselves to figure out. Going back though, for what you guys, like, do you remember when you first started selling this thing online? What happened then, and you know how you were getting your first customers that weren't like friends and family?
Yeah, so we're in the era of when crowdsourcing was a really big thing and crowdfunding was a really big thing. So Kickstarter and Indiegogo were in their heyday, and Kickstarter did not take ingestible products, so we launched an Indiegogo. But I remember the day we launched, I used to be a really big contributor to the Reddit r/nootropic thread, and I posted about this product that, you know, Ryan and I have been working on for the last year, and it became the number one post in all of r/nootropics at that time in like less than 5 hours. And in that time period, we had this influx of just people that wanted to buy NeuroGum, which bolstered us up also in the Indiegogo rankings. We became a front page product. And like 2 days later, Time Magazine wrote about us. 3 weeks later, Dr. Oz invited us to a show. And we just kept kind of riding that momentum. And this is something that, you know, we talk about in the company all the time, but in physics, there's this law of motion. Like, a body in motion stays in motion, a body in rest stays in rest, unless there's an external force that's acted upon it. So whenever we pick up these moments, you know, like 2 months ago, Joe Rogan made a huge call out on us on his podcast, about us on his podcast. And taking that momentum and being able to capitalize on it over and over and over until you reach that next stage where you could increase the size of the snowball, increase the speed of the momentum, is, I think, a super valuable, I guess, ideology that we try to maintain in the company, which has started since the very beginning.
Absolutely. And I got to ask, I've had a lot of guests on the show that have launched through like a crowdfunding-esque kind of avenue. Some had like an agency or a team behind it, and some did it on their own. How did you guys approach it?
100% all on our own. Shot the video in our warehouse, or not our warehouse, my apartment at the time, which was a warehouse because we had all of our product in there. With my roommate, with Ryan, and there's pictures from that era where we were just like up all night just shipping product out because we had no idea that it was going to blow up that quickly.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about the reaction of Reddit and posting in the thread and it going viral, for lack of a better term. And now you mentioned, and I want to point out, like, you were already active in that community, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you came in it with an authentic message from like someone that knew what those people would like to hear.
You know, I posted also in a very genuine way. Like, it wasn't trying to pitch a product. It wasn't trying to necessarily sell NeuroGum and advertise to them. It was authentic, asking for their feedback. I gave them a very specific Reddit code, which might be the one salesy part. And it was, it just caught on. And I think that authenticity and that genuineness is what probably resonated more than anything.
Yeah.
Also, me being already part of that, you know, that niche group of people that we're talking about this 24/7.
Yeah, I think that's a really crucial call out on kind of getting that first buy-in from the market. Is, don't just go and try to sell something to a market that you haven't been in before and understood the problems or the questions. The way that you probably worded that post was a reflection of just your knowledge of the ecosystem in and of itself, and that's why it resonated mm-hmm. with people, because you were speaking their language, talking about problems that they wanted to solve, where it's really obvious, you know, this happens all the time, especially on Reddit, because it's ruthless there. Like, you will see people just get destroyed when they know it's a marketing play.
Oh yeah, and it's pretty obvious when it's a marketing play, because like every time. And Reddit is a scary place in that regard, but it is also where you will find your strongest supporters, your strongest followers. And there are people from that Reddit era 7-8 years ago that are still consumers of our brand. And it's still being talked about within that community. So it's very cool.
Hey there, merchant. Are you tired of trying to navigate the wild world of e-commerce on your own? Are you looking for a partner to help you achieve your goals? Look no further than the Shopify Plus agency, Electric Eye. Our team has a proven track record of helping our clients make millions with strategic design and development. Whether you're migrating from a legacy platform to Shopify, designing a new theme for your store, or just looking to optimize what you already have, Electric Eye is the perfect partner for you. Electric Eye are true Shopify experts. Not only is our Shopify knowledge unparalleled, but we have partnerships with all the best tech in the Shopify ecosystem. And don't worry, we're easy to get a hold of. Our clients rave about our fast communication. So here's the deal. you're an e-commerce business doing over $1 million a year, you can receive a complimentary Shopify diagnostic from our team of experts. That's free, personalized, strategic recommendations to improve your store and grow your business. To get started, head on over to electriceye.io/connect to schedule an intro call with one of our experts. That's electriceye.io/connect. You have an amazing viral moment. Obviously, you weren't planning for that. And then it continues with you're getting some major PR. You guys didn't have a PR team, I'm assuming.
We emailed. I remember just staying up, me and our current COO, who was my roommate at the time, emailing every single reporter that talked ever about nootropics, productivity, focus, whatever keywords that would have matched ours. And, you know, when one bit, we just used that as like a social credibility point. And then we emailed the next journalist and then the next journalist. It was very strenuous.
If you could guess, just for a number's sake, how many people did you email and then how many articles do you think happened?
Oh my gosh, hundreds. I'm not even kidding when I say hundreds. Like we scraped as many, and if I were to do it again, you know, I would do it in a different format. But we went to Google News and we scraped as many journalists as we possibly can. Even if they were adjacent to the topics we were looking at. And I would probably say like maybe 5% of them responded, but that's all it took to get to the next phase. I remember when it was like Gear Diary, who's been a long supporter of us, they're not a big publication, but when they wrote about us, we took that testimonial that Gear Diary wrote, sent it to Time Magazine. And then when Time Magazine wrote about us, the floodgates opened.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. So you have this moment, right? There's traction for sure. How do you not lose grip? How do you not, you know, fumble the bag, as the youth would say?
I mean, we definitely, I will say nothing's perfect. We definitely, I think, fumbled the bag in terms of the timing that we could have raised, the people we could have hired during that time to keep expanding and, targeting the right consumers, because when you sell to everyone, you sell to no one. And I think we tried to expand too quickly. But, I think at the end of the day, there was a genuine, authentic vision to what we wanted to do with our product and to continue to try to keep making our product the best it could possibly be. Because, you know, neither Ryan, Tyler, or I were business people at all. We were people that were taking these nootropic supplements that we knew worked really well, and we wanted to put them into an even better format so that we could take them wherever we went. And, you know, I keep using the word genuine and authentic, but I think that genuine approach to create a product that I would absolutely love myself was, we never strayed away from that.
That's amazing. There's obviously like there's 8-year history of the company and this, all this stuff happened kind of year 1, 2, and 3. Looking back, you know, is there any other maybe mistakes or waited too long things that just stand out to you of like things that you could share with the audience that might help them maybe cut some corners, not cut some corners, but some shortcuts within their business journey?
I think hiring well is incredibly important. And I think there's a ego that perhaps I had as an entrepreneur to be like, hey, as like a founder, I am, most founders are passionate as they should be. And they feel like they should be involved in every aspect of the business. But, you know, now that we're a bigger company, like 20 plus employees and people in the VP level that have that, you know, decade long experience building CPG brands, the amount of knowledge, direction that they're able to bring is so invaluable, and that would have sped things up way, way more. And they're worth every penny.
Yeah, I always tell people, hire the most expensive person you can afford, because that's going to just get you to the next level. Have you read Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell by any chance?
No, I know of the book though.
I am currently in the middle of it. And there's a lot of what you're saying here that resonates with, that book's all about delegating and getting out of your ego. But you know, the takeaways from it are 80% is awesome. Like if you can get someone to do 80% is what you can do, it's awesome. And like good is better than perfect, or like the big takeaways of the book. And just, you know, as a CEO, a lot of people hire to for jobs that they are creating instead of hiring to get stuff off their plate that allows them to actually do the things that inherently make infinite more money for the business.
Yep. There's another book called, it's right here. Who? Which is a hiring book that one of our investors who founded RxBar recommended to us while we were going through this hiring phase. And he was like, this was the most important book to start not just building culture and an employee count and streamlining operations, but finding, like you said, those people that can do at least 80%, but then have a development plan to exceed what you would expect from them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that in like the 0 to 1 stage of a business where you're just like just rubbing sticks together to make fire, you know, trying to get some money, it's just doing what you can. You're never thinking about hiring, and there's a point where it becomes harder to hire people to help you than it is to sell your product.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, the sales element, and it's any business. Like on my side of the thing, on the agency side, and yours on the product side, it's just like, yeah, it's like I know I can go and sell the thing we're selling. That's not the hard part anymore. The hard part is fulfilling the thing, getting the stuff done, getting people to do the motions that need to happen to make the business do the thing.
Yep, and staying with the trends and staying with riding the wave of business, and business is people at the end of the day. You know, it's not just product. It's people. It's the people you sell to. It's the people that work with you. It's who you are. So agreed.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, you didn't just stay e-commerce. You have expanded a bit into more of a traditional, I guess, omni-channel is the buzzword people like to say these days.
Mm-hmm.
When did that come into play?
Probably 3 years into our business, we had a huge opportunity with CVS who wanted to bring us in. And you know, I think we rushed that a bit on the retail side, and we're in over like 12,000 points of retail, I think now, which is, in my opinion, a little bit too much. But, you know, it was just kind of a different beast. And if anyone, you know, that's listening is trying to take an omni-channel approach, if you are a D2C brand, but you don't have brand strength or don't do the right like consumer insight research and surveying, make sure you do all those things before you go to retail, because you're going to be fighting an uphill battle almost every single day when you need to sell to the masses and you can't directly communicate with them.
Sage words, Kent. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today and sharing all your wisdom with us. And you know it's a good episode when I didn't even broach Shark Tank, so I'll have to have you back and we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
If I'm listening to this thing and I'm like, well, this product sounds cool, Kent's obviously very passionate about it, where should I go to check it out?
You can go to neurogum.com or amazon.com. We're a number one product in our category. Or you could go to, I guess, any of those 12,000 points of retail, including Whole Foods, Walmart, Erewhon, Sprouts, almost every single natural store that you could think of, we're in. So go buy us at retail. We always fight for velocity. So
awesome. Hopefully the listeners out there will pick up a pack of gum and leave some feedback. Kent, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Chase.
We can't thank our guests enough for coming on the show and sharing their knowledge and journey with us. We've got a lot to think about and potentially add into our own businesses. You can find all the links in the show notes. You can subscribe to the newsletter at honestecommerce.co to get each episode delivered right into your inbox. If you're enjoying this content, consider leaving a review on iTunes. That really helps us out. Lastly, if you're a store owner looking for an amazing partner to help you get your Shopify store to the next level, reach out to Electric Eye at electriceye.io/connect. Until next time.